ready to go. As Danai Sonia says, let's get after it. And the first pitch fastball is hit in the air to left field. Verdugo's going to turn, and this one is gone. Alvarez goes to the opposite field, up into the monster seats, and the Astros have taken a 1-0 lead. A two-strike count on Bogarts. Valdez has the sign. The left-hander kicks and deals, and a swing and a ground ball. That one hit a little bit better, but right at Altuve, the second baseman. And the Red Sox go in order again. So it is 12 up and 12 down for Framber Valdez. 1-0 Houston at the end of four. And the first pitch from Perez lined into center field, a base hit. Bregman will come in to score. Correa right behind him. The throw comes back into second. Tucker stops there, and Gurriel does it again. A two-run single to make it 9-1. 2-2, bottom nine, 9-1 Houston. Stanek ready, deals, and a ground ball hit to first. Gurriel's got it, a long run to the bag, but he'll beat Bogarts there, and that is the ball game. The Houston Astros come to Boston, and they take two out of three, including the last two games. After being down 2-1, they score a ton late in game four to win that one, and they lead wire to wire in this one, and they are going home, Eddie, a win away from moving on to the World Series.
Live from the clubs of Kingwood for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's the Kings of Houston Sports Radio, John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome in, everybody. What a day. What a day it
was. I'm feeling good.
I mean,
like I said,
it couldn't have been more perfect. With the well, maybe the Rockets could have made it more perfect.
Yeah.
Because they were kind of imperfect. But Framber and Yordan. And by the way, we have Yuli, we have Framber, we have Yordan. When you say Framber, and can people stop saying Framber? It's not. That's like saying that's so. Hey, you Italians! You Iranian. It's Iran. Okay. Can we stop saying Framber? Okay. Can we stop doing that?
Because
that's not. It's Framber.
Yeah.
His name's Framber.
Yeah. How would you say? Okay. So the Mexican food that has cheese inside of the rolled corn tortillas
quesadilla?
With gravy on it, and with meat, and it's you can get cheese. Yeah.
An enchilada.
It? Enchilada.
Enchilada.
Do you say that when you're talking?
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys want to go get some enchilada?
Enchiladas.
And does Chad Clay go, yeah, I'll take some enchilada.
Some enchilada.
Does he say it or does he say enchilada?
Yeah, well, no.
See? Tell Chad to stop
being Americanized.
Do you say
name.
Taco? Do you say taco?
Taco.
Or do you
taco
say
bale.
Taco?
Bale.
Do you say taco?
I say taco bale.
Do you say hamburguesa?
Si. Well, when I'm speaking Spanish, otherwise I say hamburger.
Oh, that's right. It's not a Spanish word.
Yeah.
Why are you saying hamburger? It's hamburguesa.
You don't say hamburguesa, okay? So let's stop saying Framber, okay?
Do you say Manero Perez?
See, yes.
Okay.
But that's how she says
that's,
it.
That's respectful.
Do you Good say afternoon,
Jose
everyone.
Grignon?
I'm Manero Perez.
Do you say Jose Grignon?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Do you say Bob Slovak?
Well, yes.
Do you say Bob Slovak?
No.
Do you say that?
That's how you should say it.
Do you say Greg Bailey?
No,
well, I don't know.
No, don't say that because Art will respond. If you say Greg Bailey, Art will.
Do you say
respond.
David Nuno?
See,
or do you
David,
say Nuno?
David Nuno.
You say Nuno.
Nuno.
You don't say Nuno.
No, you say Nuno.
You use the
right,
tilde.
The tilde.
It's the Nuno. Okay. You don't say David Nuno.
Okay. So anyway,
Framber.
My point is this: we have guys that are just one name, like Cher.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And LeBron, and Cuco, or whatever his name is. What is his name?
Cuco.
Well, no. One of the soccer players. Anyway.
Oh, lots of soccer players with one name.
Okay. There's a lot of soccer players with one name.
Yeah.
We got guys with one name. When you're a guy with one name, you are a star. This changes the whole thing. With Framber, if Framber can continue to pitch like this, because I think everybody after his last start was like, oh, well. We don't have McCullers, and we're going to have to go
bad Framber, no McCullers, Luis Garcia.
You give up 9 runs, give up 12
listen,
runs. Holy crap.
Listen, one pitcher has been good, and 4 have been. No, Framber was below average, 3 were terrible, and then you got a Cy Young Award performance from Framber yesterday.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Or some people say Framber.
No, well, those people. Got,
yeah.
okay? So yeah, you get a performance like this.
I don't need Framber pitching in America. Well, yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
So if Boston is still in America, so now you got Framber game one, okay? Mm-hmm. You've got to finish this off. Garcia finishes this thing off?
Yeah.
God bless. Now all of a sudden we got the Braves. And, oh, by the way, it can't be better getting rid of the Dodgers. Although they're so banged up right now.
Bye-bye. Justin Turner's gone.
I know. He's
Turner's
done.
Turner's gone.
So
the Braves won yesterday.
I don't like to see anybody get hurt. But it just never bothers me a Dodger going down. It never bothers me.
I like when people are gone.
I can't stand those people.
The Braves are up 3-1, so it's not over. But Justin Turner looks like he's done for the series. But the Braves came in there like, y'all need to stop with this disrespectful talk.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all need to stop. The Braves were like, the Dodgers were minus 225. That was over 2-1 favorite. And the Braves were like, did you guys see us play baseball? You going to disrespect us like that?
Yeah.
And the Dodgers are getting worked right now. And the only game they've won so far is one they had to have Bellinger. They had to have a huge five-run rally to even win that one. So Astros are in good shape right now, but we saw that with Washington before. So, you know, you don't take anything for granted. And it's not like you've had good pitching other than one game from Framber.
Yeah.
That's it. So this is certainly no layup coming up. But what you do have now is two things that I think are critical. Number one, Brent Strom has had – there's an article on ESPN about Sisu, S-I-S-U. It's a Finnish word that means grit, determination. There's not really an English equivalent. And there's an article that talked about he had a meeting with the pitchers where he's basically just said you got to get out of your comfort zone, meaning I think it means you're going to have to challenge some guys and you're going to have to throw strikes and we can't give guys free passes. He addressed – people have been saying, where is Strom in this whole thing? This can't just be about Dusty Baker or the pitches. Stromy's the pitching coach. And you know what? He went in there and had a conversation before game four about we've got to attack the zone. We've got to throw strikes. And now that they're doing it, the game has completely changed. So one of two things is happening. Either the Astros are now just not – they know that they're not – they're going to lay off bad pitches. So you got to throw strikes. And Framber was brilliant. His stuff was great, late movement. He was throwing that low curveball and sinker that was a killer. Alex Cora just said it was just an elite sinker yesterday. But the other thing, John, that may be going on here is that there is a chance that tipped pitches were the reason that Boston was running Houston out of the yard. And so stolen pitches, tipped pitches, either one. You don't put anything past that cheater, Alex Cora. Known cheater.
All right, so number 11, Aaron, that's a conversation that we got to have because we saw the umpire, the first base umpire, go to the plate. They sat and they talked about it for a little while. We saw the light that goes going on out there. Dusty Baker said he had a conversation with the umps about that.
Yeah, because I know that Alex Cora had said something about the light out in center. And then he came over to me and said it really wasn't a light. It wasn't anybody's eyes or point of vision or distracting. It was some reflective tape that somebody had put out there. And so, it looked like a light shining off the, off the lights, but I didn't really see it. You know, I didn't have the angle to see it.
Yeah, it was a reflective tape that only, okay, what if it was a reflective tape, why did something reflect off of it at that particular moment and then all of a sudden disappear?
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, not even a joke, Alex Cora brought the cheating scandal to Houston along with Beltran. Beltran brought it. Alex Cora helped refine it. And I'm thankful to him for that World Series. Congratulations. Thanks to us. Thank you, Alex Cora. He did his one-year penance during COVID as Major League Baseball kicked him out. Alex Cora is going to do whatever is necessary to get an advantage. He's no different than steroid users, the cheaters. That's what's going to happen. I'm not even hating on him for it. But you cannot, if you're the Astros, you cannot go into this thinking that Alex Cora and the Red Sox might not try. The same people who are finding, you know, people to stick in left field and look through things and try to give signs to the team. Alex Cora is going to find a way to either read tip pitches by standard means or by or by non-conventional means.
Yeah, he's a cheater.
He's going to be a cheater. And he gains advantages.
Okay, well, and I don't know if Major League Baseball is going to look into this, but if they do, they'll sweep it under the rug, just like they swept their 2018 cheating Red Sox under the rug because they knew the playbook after the Astros admitted everything. Red Sox didn't admit a thing, so they didn't do anything. They're full of crap. They're so full of crap. And an intern was doing so. Get the out of here, because this is they're cheaters. They're cheaters is what they are. But here's the deal. They got Frombered yesterday. Cora talked about it, and Dusty talked about it as well. They both got Frombered. Here's Cora talking, and then Dusty talking about how good Fromber was.
We got to win two games to go to the World Series. That's the bottom line. So obviously reset tomorrow, be ready for the next day. I think their guy was amazing. He was throwing harder than usual. The ball was moving. We didn't hit the ball hard at all. Then we hit two fly balls, if I'm not mistaken, on the home run, right? So credit to him.
Well, I don't know. It seems like he put it behind him, and he had Maldi directing him. You know, Maldi would get on him at the right time, and, you know, he was throwing strikes. You know, he had a good tempo going. He threw, you know, he didn't mess around, you know, forcing that breaking ball like he had the last couple starts and then getting behind. And, you know, he was attacking the strike zone. And, I mean, his pitch count was very, very low. You know, he only got in trouble a couple times. And then, like I've always said, that sinker can get you out of trouble, you know, with two outs and, you know, on one pitch. And I think that happened three or four times, and I don't know how many turned, but I know we turned at least three, possibly four.
Hunter Renfroe was a disaster. Jeez. Hunter Renfroe.
He was trending on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this isn't good.
No, it's
for
not
him.
Good.
This is not good for him.
When you're hitting in the multiple
was trending.
Plays.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
I saw Renfroe like, ooh, he hitting a two double play.
Yeah.
That's not good for him.
Two GIDPs.
Fromber was as good as he has been this year, yeah. Man. His stuff.
In that situation.
They couldn't get out of the infield.
In
the first
that
four
situation,
innings.
Game five on the road at Boston. And then, well, he did have an issue. Right before Renfroe hits into the double play, Dusty had to go out to talk to him. And it was interesting because usually if Dusty goes out, you're making a pitching change, right?
I didn't think he was when he was
He absolutely wasn't. There was nobody warming up.
Yeah.
No. But usually it's Stromy that goes out there.
I thought somebody should have been warming up at that particular point.
I don't know about that, man. They let him. How about let him go? Well, you would have rather had somebody else out there?
No, but it's okay to – have an option,
but
if you don't warm somebody
but
up.
But my
you have
point
no
is,
option.
It's usually Stromy that goes out there.
Yes.
If it's not a pitching change, here's what Dusty had to say to him when he went out to visit him.
No, I mean, you know, we leave him alone anyway. You know, and you know, if a guy's dealing, you just let him keep dealing. I mean, if he's not dealing, then you know, you got to make some adjustments. The pitching coaches will talk to him. Some of the like Carlos would talk to him. You know, he got out of whack that one time. You know, when I went to the mound. You know, because invariably, you know, he had a no-hitter. Everybody knew he had a no-hitter. And then they get a hit, and then he hits the batter. And then that's the time when you really got to settle them down and just, you know, take the air out the ball because the crowd was about to get into it. And he threw up a double play pitch, and then he went back to dealing again.
What did you say to him on the mound?
I tell him, I just call him Framboso. I say, hey, man, you're the best. And, man, just be natural and just do your thing.
There it is, Framboso.
Framboso. I call him El Gancho, which is the hook.
You do?
Yeah, it's out of respect to the curveball. He's got that nasty hook, so I call him El Gancho.
Yeah, but Framboso means
I don't call him El Gancho. I call him El Gancho.
Yeah. But Framboso means he's even more. He's
Mas Framber?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Frambioso. Yes. Oh, my gosh. I love that.
So if I said hamburguesa.
Frambioso.
So if you had a double meat, double cheese, patty, bacon.
Oh,
and
it's the frambioso.
It'd be an hamburguesa?
Yeah. See, hamburguesissimo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. We're adding a lot on the hamburger.
Right.
Hamburguesissimo.
Hamburguesissimo. Yeah, that's
okay.
What it would be.
Okay.
Okay, but here's the deal. It's 7:14, so we got to take a break. But we got to talk about Cora. He lost that game for him.
Ooh, Alex Cora cannot be. And we also, a Red Sox fan called.
A Red Sox fan called who?
Called the station.
When?
The left station a voicemail left, overnight. Left I voicemail. Showed up. Aaron my light was overnight. Blinking on the phone.
Oh, yes. My God. We got to talk to him. We got to hear it.
Not, well, he has to make sure it's edited.
Oh, yeah. You got a problem. Yeah. Pretty sure. Who is it? Marty? No. Marty or Sully? Who was it?
I don't know. We'll have to find out from Aaron.
We'll find out. But first, let's talk about being an underdog.
Well, Underdog Fantasy gives you your chance. So I went over on Yordan. Easy, easy, easy win. Went over in strikeouts on Fromber. Easy, easy win. And that's all it was. I just decided to take two on Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy allows you to go anywhere from two to five players, and you do the over-under. And so then you have multipliers. It's like a parlay is what it is. Completely legal. It's all online. And the great thing is, you know, you do it for $20, for example, you get the 3-to-1 back. So 20 gets you 60 just for winning two. You win five of them like two of our listeners did last week. One played $5, won 100, and the other one played $10 and won 200 because they hit all five of their over-unders in at that particular time. It was all football, but you can mix and match football, basketball, baseball now. It's awesome. Three sports going on at once. You can play all of them on daily fantasy, or you can play season-long with basketball, or you can get in with the over and unders that they have, or even the rivalry section. That's another game that you can play as well. Go to underdogfantasy.com. Use promo code radio. You're going to get a $25 addition into your first deposit when you use promo code radio. Underdogfantasy.com, promo code radio.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the clubs of Kingwood. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay, so I didn't understand it, and Twitter reacted to. I just didn't get it. Second and third in the sixth inning, and Yordan's coming up. He's 2-for-2. He homers and he bangs one off the wall,
and both of them were shot. I mean,
shots. And you can
sailed in fool anybody.
I mean, you want to talk about Yordan? What a good. Yeah, he loves that low pitch, and we're going to see him strike out on that stuff. But for a big young guy, as powerful as he is, his plate discipline is pretty damn good for a power hitter. I mean, he could be a 200. The way that he hits, and you go, all right, well, so he strikes out. That's fine. But when he's doing what he did yesterday and he's going the other way, Sale didn't bother him at all. And Sale comes from way out here. He comes from not Laredo, but it's more like Lubbock. He's mm-hmm. coming from Lubbock.
Mm-hmm.
And for Yordan to be able to pick that up.
It's pretty Randy Johnson-ish, frankly.
It is. But it's not. Laredo is down here.
It's super hard. So Michael Brant, you want to – perfect example?
It's pretty much behind Yordan.
Michael Brantley has zero chance against him. He had zero right now. Michael Brantley has zero chance against most.
No,
left-handers.
But he's starting to hit a little bit.
As long as they're not left-handers for the most part.
Yeah,
but
he had two hits yesterday.
But Chris Sale ruined him yesterday. He punched out twice, right? Against Sale,
Carlos.
I don't think he got a hit against Sale. I don't think he got a hit against Sale. I think he got him started getting him late.
No.
He's been getting them later in games. But Chris Sale on left-handers is a nightmare.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
Yep.
And Brantley is not able to handle that. Yordan, for whatever reason,
just went with it.
He's hitting, and all they could, Big Poppy, you know, I'm going to be honest, he reminds me of me.
he
said that yesterday.
Yeah, I love that.
He reminds me of me,
well, so,
but with a better swing, he said.
So it's second and third, okay, in the sixth inning of a 1-0 game, when Yordan has crushed him.
Over the fence and off the wall.
Uh-huh.
Right, that's and the one that was off the wall would have been a home run in many parks.
So
it was a shot.
So drive. Altuve walks. Brantley is safe on the error by Schwarber. Thank you, Schwarber. My God,
literally dropped the ball that was thrown to him.
Right to him, and Altuve is. I was like, this is Little League.
Yeah.
Altuve's running around like it's a Little League game.
I know.
Bregman grounds out to the pitcher, but Brantley gets the second. Alvarez comes up. First base open with one out. And Carlos Correa, who looked you want to talk about somebody who Sale had his number yesterday. Holy crap, it was Carlos. He didn't have a good swing on him. And instead he pitches to Alvarez. Mm-hmm. And are you kidding me? I know it's lefty on lefty, but Alex Cora, what a horrible decision you made.
It made no sense. You're going against one of the best hitters, and certainly the analytics tell you he's very good against lefties. And your eyes told you he's very good against Chris Sale. You know, he's not a guy that's going to try to pull everything like Brantley does. He'll take it the other way. And he had ruined Sale up to that point. He clearly was not bothered by Chris Sale. And for Alex Cora for him to go lefty-lefty and just completely skip over the previous two at-bats and just skip over the fact that he is, you know, he's got a base open where he can get a double play with Carlos.
This year, Yordan, .349 against lefties, yeah. .532 slugging, .881, which was better. He's better against lefties than righties.
Yeah.
I mean, holy crap. So anyway, here's Cora on talking about pitching to Yordan.
He was throwing the ball great. The stuff was really good. He was throwing 97 with a good slider. I understand, you know, how people think, but, you know, there were two lefties coming up, too, in that pocket, right? Brantley, who he did an amazing job early on, and we had Alvarez. Still, he is who he is, but he's Chris Sale. He's a lefty, and, you know, he's made a living getting lefties out.
Oh, yeah? Not yesterday, he didn't. I don't know if you were watching the game, Alex Cora. You missed a good game because Yordan was all over him. That just because it's lefty, see, that's bad. That's bad managing. And, oh, by the way, mm-hmm. Go look at Yordan versus, I know you say Sale versus lefties, but did you see the first two at-bats?
They have, that's what I'm saying, for you to ignore the data that you have of Yordan versus lefties already, and then your human eyes for what you had seen in two previous at-bats, that's just absolute mismanagement. And Pawpaw was out there. You know, I think making, like, some people had problems with him pinch hitting Ledesma Diaz the other day. I didn't have a problem for McCormick. Whatever. I didn't have any problem with that. So Ledesma didn't get the hit. It is what it is. Who cares?
I know. So many people. Dusty almost lost it. Shut. Stop.
Like, because of Ledesma Diaz?
Dusty could not have managed better these past two games. He could not have managed better.
He's done a good job. I do think there might be something to the tip. Now, Fromber was just great, but I think there might be something to the tip pitches because pitches they might have held off on in the past, like his wipeout curveball that starts above the knees and then drops into the dirt and they're swinging at it. They were swinging again yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, no one else can get
JD
a pitch
Martinez.
To swing at.
How about
all of a sudden, JD Martinez wasn't the most devastating hitter in the history of the game.
Right, right.
All of a sudden, he's swinging at pitches that are ending up as balls. But, boy, before that, not a chance.
All right, so back to Yordan. Yordan, actually, he talked about it, about facing Sale in that situation.
No, creo que me preparé, sabía que era zurdo contra zurdo, me estaba preparado para el momento y obviamente fui agresivo de nuevo y bueno, pude conectarle.
No, I was ready, I thought left on left that they might leave a man to face me and I was ready to be aggressive again against them.
Yuli also talked about that at bat and about that situation.
No, de verdad que me siento muy bien. Cada vez que puedo aportar algo al equipo, principalmente con las RBI, me siento muy bien, ya que el año pasado no pude ayudarlo mucho.
I'm feeling really good. I know that I couldn't help the team as much last year with the season that I had, and now being able to drive in runs has really helped the team. I'm feeling good about that.
That is a great button one anyway. That's a great – Yuli is not getting enough credit, dude. Yuli is on fire.
Yeah, so what, 8 of 18 – as of Yuli went from being not able to hit nothing to right
nothing.
Now, everything's finding gaps. Everything's finding a gap.
Yuli's the one that broke that open.
Yuli is right now. You're right. Yuli's not getting any credit because it's not sexy hits. It's not line drives. He's had, you know, ground ball up the middle. Finds a hole. Finds a hole.
Right.
Line drive just over second baseman into right center. They're not doubles or triples. He's just starting to hit. Like, Yuli is hot right now.
Yuli's listen, and somebody texted me, Why is the leading hitter in the league batting seventh? Why is the best hitter in the league? Well, he led the league in hitting. Why is he batting seventh in the lineup? Well, because you tell me where he should go. Other than, you know, maybe Bregman's spot, but that's not. We're not gonna nitpick here, because I'm gonna tell you this. Yuli, 3 for 5. He's hitting .474, .524. His .524 on base, .684 slugging. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? This guy's on fire. And we gotta give Yuli. This was the Yordan Fromber game. This was the I don't know which is first, because without Yordan and
Reconcile. You've had no pitching.
Yeah, but Yordan's Reconcile.
Yordan's great. Yordan was great. They still scored 9. I mean, Fromber, the Astros, did you see the stats? Every starting pitcher not named Fromber, and then Fromber. Like, Fromber took a red-hot lineup, and they were toast against him. They couldn't get it out of the infield. That, to me, this is the Fromber game. How about when he hit the home run? They kept showing him in the dugout doing his breathing exercises and stuff that his sports psychologist, I'm sure, told him about. But they showed when Fromber gave the home run, they cut to him. You know, they showed a video, a replay, and he's like, he literally did his head like, so? I don't care.
And what?
His head, he was like,
and? What?
I don't
what?
Care.
What?
I don't care. Hey, when we come back, now this is actually really big news. For real, when we come back, we will tell you about Deshaun Watson. I've got some inside info. It came out yesterday. Mark Berman had it. Deshaun Watson is on the move, but I'm going to tell you.
I don't know who got it first, McClain or Berman. I don't know.
Berman had it the first that I saw. But regardless, when Berman has it, McClain will miss on some stuff when he guesses. And you know what I mean? Like, no way they draft Jadeveon Clowney. If they don't draft Johnny Manziel, I'll eat a paper and eat a whole newspaper. And like, oh, no, that's not what you want to do. But, I've got some inside info here from multiple angles. And I want to tell you what's going on, what I've heard about Deshaun Watson. But this is going to go down before the trade deadline. The Texans will go down, and I have heard what the compensation looks like it might be. So I will share that on the other side.
All right, we'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 right now. Though we're talking about HR&P. You know what? If you're looking for the best payroll company, those are our guys. We love HR&P, and HR&P is the best that you will find. I'm telling you, because here's the deal, is they're so knowledgeable. They're awesome. They know everything about the Affordable Care Act. They're going to do everything perfect that you need done. They're going to all the payroll, all the HR. You don't want to take this on yourself. You just don't. If you want somebody that's got, and if you're a company that's growing and you're saying, I don't know, this whole payroll thing and HR, this is a bit of that taxes and the implications and screwing up the Affordable Care Act, all of these things. If you're on the fence about this, at least give them a call and let them come and tell you what they can do for you. It's going to be cheaper than you having full-time people doing all of this stuff yourself. And, oh, by the way, the mistakes that you can make with HR, the mistakes that you can make with the Affordable Care Act could really cost you in fines in the long run. So if you're looking for the best way to go about this, call my peeps. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
I got a lot of people asking me about Simple Seats now. And what's the website? It's Simple Seats. SimpleSeats.com is how you – and, you know, and listen, the tickets are fluid. They can go down like they did for game one of the last series, and I got unbelievable infield seats above third baseline. But they can also go up when the demand goes up. And the great thing is, though, there's never any fees. So right now, tickets are going up. If you want to get to the Astros game, I suggest that you go to SimpleSeats.com. SimpleSeats.com for Friday's game, and you can get tickets in upper deck, down. There's still some for the infield between first and third base, the dugouts. You've got the ones in the corner lower bowl. You've got outfield and right field available. You got actually Crawford boxes. So they're available at Simple Seats, and at SimpleSeats.com, you never have a fee. There's no additional fees ever. So you don't have transfer fees or convenience fees. The price of the ticket is the price of the ticket. SimpleSeats.com for Texans, for Astros, Cougars, Dynamo, Longhorns, Aggies. It's all available right there at SimpleSeats.com.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the Clubs of Kingwood. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, welcome back here. Live from Kingwood Country Club for the Bad Pants Open. John and Lance here with you. Beautiful morning. Man, it is foggy. It is some kind of foggy. And maybe that has, I don't know, Del said you're hearing some Mexican accordions. I don't know. All I know is that we are here and we are really appreciative. We've been doing the Bad Pants Open for since its inception. So we've been out here. We're going to talk later in the show. We'll have somebody on from the hospital that will talk about what they're doing. And it's unbelievable what they do here. And it's unbelievable what the Bad Pants Open has done over the years here for the hospital. So Deshaun Watson to Miami, John McClain and Mark Berman both reporting at 2:38 yesterday, both reporting that this could be done and probably will be done before the trade deadline on November 2nd. What have you heard?
Well, so what I heard is that this was...
By the way, it's to Miami, by the way. For those of you that haven't heard anything.
So here's what I've heard from very good sources said that this deal could have potentially gone down last week if it needed to. The compensation and the bones of the deal have been agreed upon, from what I understand. It is a little trickier. I've heard two things that I think could make this a little bit tricky. So it may not. I think the agreement is done, but getting to the finish line could be the challenge. Although I think they'll get there, it could affect when it happens. I have heard that Deshaun Watson may, you're going to love this, may want a new contract. Because, and all I can assume, here, now here's why Miami would probably
stones.
Do it. He hasn't played a single down on his new contract. He's already signed a new contract. I have heard that that behind the scenes, they feel like they're good on compensation, I guess, with Tony Busby. And that has been handled. That's what I'm hearing. That is very quietly. I don't know if it's completely done yet. Somebody at NFL Network I spoke to yesterday said they didn't. They thought that the big holdup. A person at NFL Network said they thought John McClain's article could do damage to this potential trade because now Tony Busby will come in asking for way more money. But my point to that person was,
if you've already come up to with a deal, you can't do that.
Well, the point I also. My guess is it's already contingent. Like, you wouldn't be talking about finishing a deal if something hadn't already been done, just because it hasn't been made public. So the thought is, and I heard this from one person, it is believed that a deal, that stuff has already been taken care of behind the scenes in terms of the lawsuits and the settlement stuff.
Interesting.
And that this may already be done.
And that might, and if they he does come civilly, that they may drop the criminal charges.
That there won't be criminal charges. That's the thought. Is that from what the person I talked to said they don't believe there are criminal charges and that the deal and that an agreement in principle has been made between Deshaun and his
accusers.
That's
been conspicuously quiet.
It has criminal stuff, which is usually a sign that there might be some movement.
And I read somewhere yesterday it said, I'm hearing there ain't going to be any suspension even by the NFL.
So here is what I heard, that there is, from what I've heard, there has already been discussions and there may be so much as deals done in principle with the settlements with Tony Busby's clients. That's what I've heard. That would make sense because that would open the door for what Mark – and if Mark Berman has something solid gold – he will not do it unless he has the perfect information. That would open the door for a deal getting done. The problems could be twofold. Number one, if Deshaun Watson wants a new contract because he's having to pay out of pocket for the settlement and for his lawyers, the McLaren, Green McLaren.
I want more money too because my air conditioning bill
and
went up.
And I think Miami's going to say, I'm sorry, you spent your signing bonus.
Yeah,
that ain't on us. But what they might do is say, yeah, we'll give you some more money, but here's what we're also going to do: we're going to tack 2 years onto that deal because that was too short a term deal. I could see that happening. Yeah. I could see Miami saying, hey, we're giving Deshaun a new deal. He gets some money up front, but they throw 2 years on, and Deshaun's basically a six-year Dolphin. So that is one potential holdup, is getting a framework of a contract done. The second is going to be that this is going to have to be coordinated. Now, this is what I've heard, that this may have to be coordinated with the NFL so that before anything's done, there is an idea of him going on the commissioner's exempt list while they get it done, and Deshaun then is going to be suspended. If there's a suspension, and if the Dolphins believe there's going to be a suspension, and there very well may be a suspension. I know some people in Deshaun's camp think it may be four games. I think it could be six, with maybe he could appeal and get it down. But if that ends up happening, Miami, because this came up, why would Miami want to make the trade at all? Because you want times. You
they
want
suck anyway.
Because they said,
who
like,
cares?
If he. Well, that's the whole thing. They suck. Why would they want to even trade for Deshaun right now? That's the point.
Yeah.
Get him in now. Let him do. And, let him do a suspension.
Do the
time
suspension now.
So it's clear next year. And who knows? If Jacoby Brissett, you know, gets the job done and you win some games, maybe you got a shot. But, so those are two potential holdups. Is one, if they're working on a new contract. Number two, coordinating this with the league and finding out what the, you know, what's going to take place, because that could have an impact on what the compensation is. I have heard that 3 1s and potentially a 2 will be compensation. I had heard 3 1s, 2 2s, and then a pretty well placed source. Said they thought that was more than it was going to be, that was not going to be the compensation package. So we'll have to find out on that. You'll notice that Schefter and Ian Rappaport, two of the, you know, the two big heavy hitters are not reporting this yet, because I don't think things are done and they'd like things to be a little further along. You'll notice Houston is reporting it. That means it's coming from the Houston building. It's probably coming from Nick Caserio or Cal McNair. I think they feel very good that there is going to be a deal. One other element of this is that I have heard Tua will be moved. I know I've heard Washington. I heard Denver yesterday. Denver is a team I heard yesterday.
For Tua?
For Tua to end up at Denver as part of a trade, that they would not keep Tua and the Texans don't want Tua. Denver's already pushing back on that rumor. Mm-hmm. Washington was mentioned. Washington's pushing back. Even Miami's pushing back. But the fact is, if Mark Berman has it, it's pretty gold.
Yep,
that's my rule. And yep. I've watched Mark Berman work since I was in high school, and that dude doesn't miss because he doesn't take chances.
Mm-hmm.
He makes sure that he has the information. And so I went and checked it out on from multiple angles, and what I found was a deal potentially was already in place by last week. They think a deal could that Deshaun may take a little, a week and a half to get ready to actually play. He has been in a building. With the Texans, it's not like he's not in that building. He heads into the building. What he does, I guess, work out. I don't know. But I've been told that a deal is going to happen with Miami. So I know there's going to be pushback. I know there's going to be people saying it's not going to happen. I did have somebody at NFL Network tell me that they thought McClain's deal could interrupt or disrupt the potential for a trade getting done. But I don't see it happening. I think if you have motivated parties, which the Texans are motivated, and I think Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, has to be the motivated party. It doesn't necessarily have to be Chris Greer, although Chris Greer has a better chance of winning with Deshaun than he does too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And what you're seeing out of the Dolphins this year makes total sense.
Yep.
That this is going to happen. I hope it does.
So it could happen as early as this week, but I think it may not happen until next week.
So tired of talking about this. Please happen, and please get all you can, Nick Caserio. All right, that's enough of that. Let's get back to the Astros. On the other side, Semwant, and your thoughts, people. A lot of stuff that we have been talking about with Cora's decision, with Jordan, with Fromber, Yuli, anything going forward now. What do you guys think? 713-780-3776. We'll start taking your calls on the other side. But first, let's get drunk, Lance.
Well, so Maestro Dobell is not telling you to get drunk. What they're telling you is to enjoy a fine spirit. And that's what Maestro Dobell is. And they've got, if you like Reposado, they're going to be. If you like the silver tequila, they're going to be you. If you like their añejos, which I was blown away by their añejo. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Went out and bought one right away after tasting it. But they've got a Cristalino, which is a level of tequila and a level of spirit that they coined. They started this, and now others are doing it as well. It blends three different types of tequila, And then it charcoal filters it, and it comes out with it's crystal in appearance, the Cristalino, and then the flavor is unmatched. And you can have that as a sipping tequila or as a tequila in your cocktail, either one. But I can just tell you this, 11 generations of tequila makers from Tequila Mexico are making that with 100% blue agave, and it is a fantastic spirit. If you haven't had Maestro Dobel, make sure that you check it out at your local liquor store. Pick it up and enjoy it for yourself. The Cristalino called Diamante by Maestro Dobel.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go Sabercats.
Give me the VIN.com. So easy, you can do it in your underwear. Yeah. So if you're looking, that's how easy it is. When you can do a lot of stuff in your underwear, but you can also sell your car to John Clay Wolf in your underwear. I don't know why that's their song. I don't get it. But here's the deal, is it is that easy. It was simple to sell my Frankie's car to John Clay Wolf. Loved it. Got more for it. I was with the guys, I think it was Eric from CCA. He said he sold him a car. It was $2,000 more than he was offered from the dealership. So that's like, okay, $2,000. No. Sell your car to CarMax or the dealership and take less because that's a smart move. No. Get as much as you possibly can. And John Clay Wolf will do the deal through the dealership while you're buying your new car, so it is all clean, neat, tidy with taxes as well. So if you're looking for a great way to sell your car and get the most for it, it's easy. GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com.
This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from the clubs of Kingwood. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. All right, 713-780-3776. You guys all, obviously, you have thoughts on the game yesterday. That or, wow. The Rockets yesterday? Wow. If you had thoughts on that, man, it's not like that.
Doing
was
a radio show by a weed whacker is going to have its moments. I am excited to see the Rockets. I think they're going to be fun and all that stuff. We all say the same thing. Here's the thing, though, after watching that game, listen, just because you're running around going, Hully gully and chicken and head cut off.
That was a lot of it.
Jalen
throwing up threes.
Yeah, that
is ugly.
That ain't fun. That's not fun.
Well, not only that,
that's just disorganized.
It looked like
at some point it needs to be crisp. It needs to be efficient. You know, you need to have some efficiencies. You need to not turn the ball over. You need to play a little better than the Rockets played. That was not a good game for the Rockets.
A little better.
Defensively,
dude,
offensively.
They were down 30-some points.
Yeah, they were really bad in the first half, and then they came back and were a little bit more competitive in the second half and played better offensively. But I think they're going to be fun, but it can't just be a bunch of young guys running around doing whatever they want to do. Like, at some point, Steven Silas, and it's going to take time, but he's going to have to get some cohesiveness out of that team because that was anything but.
Well, and it was a little – why do Jalen and KPJ have the same hair?
They do.
They got the same hair cut. And I'm like, well, who is this? Is this number three or is this number six? I don't know.
Look at the shoes. Jalen had those kind of orangish shoes.
I don't,
he had a couple moves.
I don't want to look at their shoes.
His first and second baskets of his career were incredible. Let the shoes take you.
No. Okay, so between them, they were 4 for 12 and 4 for 14. That's 8 for 26, which is not good between the two of them. They'll be better, but Christian Wood, and I really would like Ryan Hollins not to call him Christian Woods anymore.
Oh, is he saying Christian Woods?
Yeah. I wish he would not.
What about J.J. Watts? Did anyone say J.J. Watts?
Tiger Wood.
Texans Karen. I love when J.J. Watts makes a sack, y'all. I am like the number one fan when J.J. Watts makes his sack, and that's why sometimes I'll even let Todd, go to work in the car after the
whoa.
If Watts has a big game, because don't get me started, girls, on how hot J.J. Watts is. It's Watt.
Listen,
it's Watt. It's singular.
Did y'all see the J.J. Watt billboard in Mexico that he retweeted?
No.
Somebody tweeted it at him. If you go to his Twitter, he retweeted it. Somebody took a picture of him and photoshopped over the Watt, and it was like, get rid of tired eyes with these blue eye or blue light filtering glasses. And somebody was like, I didn't know you had an endorsement in Mexico. And he was like, okay. My agent, my lawyer said, you know what? If they send me a couple of pairs of blue light glasses, we won't go suing them for copyright infringement.
There you go.
So
NIL. Why can't JJ get paid?
I know. Let him get paid. So actually, I Shingun wasn't bad. Did you?
Yeah. He was bad. When I first turned it on, he was bad.
He wasn't.
He was falling down, turning over, hitting his head on the ground. But then he came on and played much better.
Yeah.
He's the most skilled. They say. He was the most – so from an analytics standpoint, he was the best player in the draft analytically, you know, from an analytics standpoint.
Right.
But they say, you know, his skill level is really high. It's just the question is, does he have the athletic ability that is going to play in the NBA? But from skill level, he's skilled. And he looked good.
Is Jeremy here? Do we still have Jeremy? If anybody wants – let's go. Astros, 713-780-3. That's enough Rockets talk because, man, that wasn't like that was the Lakers or the Nets. Or the Bucks? That was Minnesota.
I know.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That was bad. Let's get Jeremy in here to talk about the Astros. What do you say, Jeremy?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for having me on. Yesterday's game was awesome. Houston went up to Boston and punched him in the mouth. It was kind of like that scene in Heat where De Niro punches the bank manager and he says, let it bleed. You know, so... So I work nights. So last night, for some reason, I was listening to the Ben Maller show, and he went on a tirade against the Astros of how Manfred didn't have a set, and that the Astros should have been suspended from the playoffs for 5 years, and Altuve, Correa, and Bregman should have been kicked out of baseball for cheating.
Oh my God!
So, but the reason Fromber was so good yesterday is because he was cheating. He had Vaseline on his forehead.
Oh. Is that what he said?
That's
talking about losing all credibility. If he said all that stuff, that's...
They checked him after every inning. I mean...
I don't know. I'm not even going to get... that. All he's doing
who
is trying
Ben?
To...
What?
He's
Ben
a
who?
Guy who's been trying to get attention for years.
It's, well, that's it. That's
Ben Maller. He's a Fox Sports National host.
Fox Sports National is doing
he's an
overnight
guy.
And he wants his clicks, and that's... I'm not giving it to him. That's stupid. There's no one saying that. He's the only guy saying that. They literally check them. They take their hats off. They do all that stuff. It's stupid.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you'll be suspended for 5 years for the playoffs. Like, okay, that's harsher than any penalty that's been levied ever other than SMU's death penalty. Really? Because if you do that, get ready to get sued by Jim
Crane. It's the worst thing ever to be,
I'm not going to do it.
It's the worst thing
ever. You got
ever.
Your ass kicked, and now you just keep going back to it. Keep you know what? Cry harder.
A little bit. 713-780-3776.
Say it again. A little bit. It's not bad if you stop.
No, if
short
you're
of
bit,
the
bit. What did you say? Little
stupid
bit.
Little bit.
Little bit.
Hate that bit.
I don't hate that bit.
Oh,
my. It's so stupid.
Oh, I got something to tell you.
713-780-3776.
What time do we have a guest on? I'll tell you right now.
Not till 9:30.
I'll tell you right now.
What?
I got something to tell you. And I'm going to leave it. I'm not going to expand on it much. But I'm just going to
tell me.
You.
No, you can tell me. I won't say anything.
I got a text.
I
from
won't
our,
tell anyone.
I got a text from our producer yesterday.
Which producer?
Do you know our producer?
Aaron?
Yeah.
Okay. What'd it say?
Somebody wanted my phone number.
Kay Adams?
What time is it? Is Nicole in the car? She is. Nope.
Who wants your phone?
Well, it wasn't regardless whether she's in the car or not.
Okay.
No, it wasn't Kay Adams. So yesterday, I tweeted out, you know, Passan had that, the strike that wasn't.
I know.
The strike that wasn't.
Did you see my tweet
that was a
yesterday?
Strike.
Every person in Houston media responded to it.
Every person in Houston, every Astros fan. It was, and I just, all I did was I retweeted it, and I just put hashtag total Jeff move, because that's a total Jeff move. That's all I put. So out of nowhere, Aaron, why don't you just tell your little side of the story?
So I tried to get Jeff on like the first or second week I took over, and my whole thing was I know you guys had history. I told him, hey, listen,
so,
can we
so
bury
for
the
people
hatchet?
Who don't know, Yeah, for people who don't know, I said something. I crossed the line about Jeff Passan. I made it personal. I own that. I don't have a problem with owning it. I was really upset about the Astros stuff and the hypocrisy. I crossed the line. I said some things I shouldn't have said. And I think he wanted an apology through ESPN, and I was fine with doing it. Mm-hmm. I said, yes, absolutely. I crossed the line. I said some things I shouldn't have. He misread one thing, but regardless. So I called him. I got his number. I called him, and I apologized, and we talked. We talked for about 10 minutes. We talked about Astro stuff. We talked about this and that. It was about 8 to 10-minute call, and I thought the hatchet was buried. And so I tweeted at him. At one point, I texted him and I said, hey, why don't you come on the show? It's your old friend Lance. Why don't you come on the show to talk about something? It was down the road. Got no answer. That's fine. That happens all the time. Not a big deal. So I didn't think – and I thought he probably had – you know, he probably had hard feelings still. But that was fine. That was, you know, whatever the case was, that's fine. I don't care. And then Aaron tried to reach out to him and get him, and he had a response to Aaron that – specifically, I don't want to go specifically what he said.
No, he's just not a fan. He's still
he's not happy. No, why would I ever?
So he went on yesterday. He was on 610.
Yeah, he's no. He even told Aaron, if you ever go to another station, let me know and I'll do something. So he's not doing anything. So okay, cool.
No,
you know, cool. You don't want to.
Oh my God, we're not going to have Jeff Passan.
Yeah.
How's this show going to go on?
Don't care. I did what I had to do. It's independent of anything. That's fine. So I retweeted and I put hashtag total Jeff move. Then all of a sudden, this guy wants my phone number. He texts Aaron, hey, do you have Lance's phone number?
Jeff Passan?
Yeah, tell Aaron, tell him.
Yeah, he shot me a text during the show yesterday, and I got caught up doing, you know, making promos and doing post-production stuff after the show. I forgot to text him. And I, you know, sent it to I said to Lance, you know, hey, Jeff wants your phone number. He asked me for it. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to give it to him? Because anytime anyone asks me for somebody's number, I don't care if it's just friends, I'm going to text you the person who they asked for and go, hey, can I give your number to this
good
person?
Move. Yeah, good
so
move.
I sent that to Lance and said, hey, do you want me to give him your number? And then Lance responded and was like, yeah, give it to him. So I did.
I said, yeah, give
and
it to him.
And that's all I know
I will.
About
and
that's
I,
where my part in the saga ended.
And that's it. But I let him know, and I let some other people know that need to know, if this dude comes after me because I retweeted his own stupid article where he goes where he talks about how he doesn't talk about any of the runs scored by the Astros. Here's what I don't like. Excuse makers do this. Our world is full of excuse makers. No one's accountable. Did they miss the call on Castro? They might have missed the call on Castro. Did they miss the call on Luis Garcia and then a grand slam happened? Yeah, they sure did. Mm-hmm. But you know what? When that happens, make a pitch. Do your job. If you don't get that strike, then you got to get the next guy. You can't be bitching and crying and about, we didn't get the strike. Don't tell me about what you say. Don't tell me about how bumpy the waves are. Bring the ship in.
Right.
That's what you got to do.
Right.
So you still have a job to do if you don't get a pitch. And guess what? Laz Diaz was missing pitches all over the place. All game long.
No, that was the only pitch, apparently.
All game long.
No, he even tweeted. He missed 21.
But he's like, yeah, but that had so many runs. So all I did was retweet and put hashtag total Jeff move. If this dude was going to call me, and he didn't call, by the way, but if he was going to call me or text me because he didn't like that I retweeted his article and put hashtag total Jeff move, it was going to be on. And I'm just telling you, I have a right to my opinion. I think that was a garbage article, garbage commentary, and that's it. There's nothing personal about this. I think you wrote a bad article that focused on a one call when the whole thing was bad. You still have a job to do if you're Nathan Eovaldi. Your job was to get the Astros out, and you couldn't do it. And
nope.
I don't care if they missed a call or not. You couldn't do it, and the Astros snowballed on you, went downhill, gave you the avalanche, and that was
it. Did
that.
You see what I tweeted yesterday after the game? Jeff Passan,
I did see that,
is racking his brain right now trying to find a reason why the Astros won this game when they shouldn't have. It's got to be killing him.
Look at you, 396 likes.
Yep.
You're the champ.
Uh-huh. 713-780-3776 is the number.
Total Jeff move only got 139 likes.
I got way more.
Total Jeff move deserved 1,000 likes,
and Jeff
if I'm
got,
being honest.
And Jeff, I didn't put at Jeff. I didn't at Jeff Passan.
Oh, you're a coward then. That's
no.
what they say.
No,
if
they
don't add him, bro.
I knew they – oh, I don't.
If he did, he would have got.
What is, I don't even know.
He would have come after you. Do you have John Granato's number?
He doesn't even know.
That's what
me.
He would have done to
all
Aaron.
He knows is Lance, the guy who almost lost us the station.
He knows
that's
me.
All, that's all.
But hopefully he's not, because I think my guess is he would have called me and said, "Hey, you know the article." He would have tried to argue the merits of the article, and all I would have said is, "Hey, Jeff, you know, get somebody out. If somebody misses a pitch, get somebody."
Like that's
out.
That's the only pitch
scores.
The whole game.
I don't care
he
how many
missed 21.
Runs And let's be real here. National media is rarely fair. The Astros deserve the criticism they
clout
got.
Chasers.
But you, we're Dell called us clout chasers.
Yeah. We got to take a break. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Right now, though, I want to talk about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. You know what? It sounds their Ford sound better than that thing, that cart right there. You know what my Ford is? It's the best. I love my Expedition. I'm in on the electric F-150. If you want to get in line for that, you can. If you want to get the regular F-150, listen, this is the best time to do it because you can customize it exactly how you want it. Used to be, I guess before you could customize it exactly how you want it, but when they had all those vehicles on the lot, what you did was you pick and chose, I don't want the sunroof, but you know what? It comes part of this package. You don't have to do any of that anymore. You get to pick exactly what you want, and they will make it for you, and then they will deliver it to you. You can do it all from home. You can go all to the dealership, or they'll come to your house. That's how good they are. You want a test drive? They'll bring it to your home. If you're looking for the place that has the best service with the best prices, right now you get 72 months on a select 72 months interest-free payments on select F-150s and $1,000 off on select F-150s as well. You're looking for the best way to get in that Ford car or truck, go see my peeps. I love them. You'll love them too. ChastangFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.